turn back to Genesis chapter 24. This chapter is the longest chapter in the book of Genesis, and it is one of the longest chapters in the Bible. And this is about Abraham sending his servant, who is unnamed, in order to find a bride for Isaac. And this is an allegory. Yes, it happened literally. But this is an allegory given to teach us of the preaching of the gospel. And the response of Rebecca to the preaching of the gospel. I will go. And I so desire that that be the response of everyone listening. I will go. Not like Hobab when Moses said to him, we're going on a journey to a place the Lord said, I'll give it you. Come with us. We'll do thee good, for the Lord hath spoken good concerning Israel. Hobab said, I'll not go. But here Rebekah says, I will go. Now in this story, I'm going to end up reading this entire chapter and just making brief comments on it. It speaks for itself. But in this story, we have Abraham as a type of God the Father. We have Isaac as a type of Christ. And what a type of Christ he is. He was born supernaturally. And then we have that glorious story in Genesis 22 of Abraham being called upon to offer him up. What a type of Christ Isaac is. And then we have Rebekah as a type of the church. And we have the angel of the Lord as a type of the Holy Spirit. And we have this unnamed servant as a type of the gospel preacher. Now, this could have been Eliezer, but the text doesn't tell us. He's mentioned some 60 years before as Abraham's servant in Genesis chapter 15. And he might have been the same servant spoken of. But I love the way he is not named. The name of the preacher is of utter non-importance. It's who sent him and his message that's of importance, not his name. Verse 1 of Genesis chapter 24, and Abraham was old and well stricken in age. Now, this is after the death of Sarah. As a matter of fact, we're going to consider that tonight. Genesis chapter 23, the funeral of Sarah. And what a powerful gospel message that is. But Abraham is old, well stricken in age. And the Lord had blessed Abraham in all things. And Abraham said unto his eldest servant of his house that ruled over all that he had, put, I pray thee, thy hand under my thigh. And I will make thee swear by the Lord, the God of heaven and the God of the earth, that thou shalt not take a wife unto my son of the daughters of the Canaanites in whom I dwell, but thou shalt go unto my country, my homeland, and my kindred, and take a wife for my son Isaac. Now, Abraham wanted Isaac to have a bride. And he didn't want this bride to come from the land of Canaan. He wanted this to be from his homeland. And he sends his son, or his servant, Eliezer, to find this bride. Now, Look in verse 14. Let it come to pass that the damsel to whom I shall say, let down thy pitcher, I pray thee, that I may drink. And she shall drink, and I'll give thy camels drink also. Let that same be she that thou hast appointed. You see, he understood who he was going after was the one that God had already appointed, didn't he? He understood election. Look in verse 44 of the same chapter. And she said to me, both drink thou, and I'll also draw for thy camels. Let the same be the woman whom the Lord hath appointed out for my master's son. Now, he was on an errand looking for one of Christ's sheep. You know, a man that does not understand and believe and preach election, God's appointment of his people, God never sent that man. Now you can just write that down. Any true gospel preacher understands that salvation is of the Lord, that that person will be saved that God has appointed to be saved. And he sends his servant out with this errand. Verse 5. And the servant said unto him, peradventure the woman will not be willing to follow me into this land. Must I needs bring thy son again unto the land from whence thou camest? Now the servant had a concern. What if I go and tell of the glory of Isaac, and they don't believe my report? What then? What if she is just unwilling to love and be married to someone that she's never seen? I understand that. You know, in some cultures, they appointed wives and husbands for their children. Now, if I was a kid, I'd kind of like being able to do that. You probably would too with your kids, but it doesn't work that way. She may not be willing to leave her homeland and go to a place that she's never been or never even heard of before this and be married to a man she's never seen. What if she is unwilling to do this? She may not have this esteem of the covenant that I'm speaking of and the land of promise. It could be meaningless to her. What do I do if that's the case? Verse 5, the servant said unto him, peradventure the woman will not be willing to follow me into this land. Must I needs bring thy son again into the land from whence thou camest? Do I need to bring Isaac to her, if she's not willing to come? Do I bring Isaac to her? Do I change the terms and make it easier for her to come? Do I change the terms that she's more likely to comply with? Do I bring Isaac to her? Verse 6, but Abraham said unto him, don't you dare. Don't you dare. Beware that thou bring not my son thither again. Now, there is to be no compromise. Don't you dare try to make it easier. Don't you dare not do exactly what I told you to do. There's to be no attempt to make this easier to the flesh. There's to be no attempt to make this more attractive to the flesh. There's no marketing or packaging of this in order to make it an easier sell. God does not negotiate with sinners. Let me repeat that. God does not negotiate with sinners. I'm not trying to make this an easier sell. Now listen real carefully. This is non-negotiable. The Bible is the Word of God. Amen. To be believed, to be bowed to be received in whatever it says. God is God. That's a non-negotiable. He is absolutely sovereign. He controls everybody and everything, and whatever he does is right. He has no law over his head that he has to live up to. Whatever he does is right because he does it. No other reason is needed. He's absolutely sovereign. That means you're in his hands. That means I'm in his hands. And your eternal destiny is not decided by you, but him. He is God. Not in name only, but in reality. He is God. That's non-negotiable. And God's way of saving sinners is non-negotiable. You see, according to the scriptures, when Adam fell, he became dead, spiritually dead. That's not talking about physically dead. That's talking about spiritually dead. What can a dead person do to save themselves, to give themselves life? What can a dead person do? Nothing. Dead in trespasses and sins. That means totally depraved. That means every aspect of you and me is under the dominion and control of sin. You know, the very thought of free will is ridiculous. Your will is controlled by your nature. Dead in trespasses and sin. That's a non-negotiable. That's not up for debate. That's not up for discussion. Make it easier for, don't you dare. Don't you dare. Oh, God's salvation. This is a non-negotiable. God elected. Who would be saved before time began? That's not up for debate. Somebody says, I don't agree with that. Well, it's so anyway. Christ Jesus, the glorious Son of God, came as a representative of the elect, those the Father gave him. And when he said, it is finished from Calvary's tree, you know what? The salvation of every one of them was completed. Oh, the infinite power of his atonement. He made it to where I stand before God, where everybody he died for stands before God without guilt. That's a non-negotiable. Well, let's try to make it easier. Don't you dare. Don't you dare. God the Holy Spirit's grace is irresistible and invincible. When he gives a sinner life, they live. And everybody that God elected, Christ died for, and God the Holy Spirit calls, will persevere all the way to the end. Every one of them will. And don't try to dress up the gospel with wisdom of words. Don't say, well, if she won't come, let me come to her and try to talk her into it. Don't you dare. With regard to the gospel, don't try to package it. Don't try to market it. I love what Paul said, 1 Corinthians 1:17, Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words. Trying to make it more attractive, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. Now, what do I do? Do I bring him back if she won't come? Don't you dare. Beware that thou bring not my son thither again. Verse 7, the Lord God of heaven, which took me from my father's house and from the land of my kindred, and which spake unto me and that sware unto me, saying, unto thy seed will I give this land. He shall send his angel before thee, and thou shalt take a wife unto my son from thence. And if the woman will not be willing to follow thee, then thou shalt be clear from this my oath. Only bring not my servant thither again. Now, with regard to this servant, he says, if she won't come, you're clear. Your only responsibility is to tell the truth. You can't make somebody believe. But I'm going to send my spirit ahead of you, the angel of the Lord, and she will cause this one to want to come. Now, the preacher has no power. He's to deliver the message. He's not to compromise the message in any way. This is non-negotiable. But understand this. I'm going to send my angel, my spirit, and he will bring this woman according to my will. Verse 9, and the servant put his hand under the thigh of Abraham, his master, and swear to him concerning this matter. I'm going to go back to where you're from, Ur of the Chaldees, and I'm going to go into your relatives, and I'm going to find a bride from your people. I swear that's what I'm going to do. Verse 10. And the servant took 10 camels of the camels of his master and departed. For all the goods of his master were in his hand. And he arose and went to Mesopotamia unto the city of Nahor, Abraham's brother. Now, a couple of things I want to point out about that verse. All the master's goods were in his hand. Now, what's that talking about? The gospel. The gospel of Jesus Christ is all of God. It's all of God. And he brings these 10 camels. Well, you know that 10 represents the law in two senses. One, you've broken every commandment with every breath. You've not kept one commandment one time. 10 camels. And that commandment is completely fulfilled in Jesus Christ. And you stand before the law believing the gospel perfect. He comes with these 10 camels. And in these 10 camels, he has the whole gospel, our sinfulness, and the complete salvation of Jesus Christ. Verse 11, and he made his camels to kneel down without the city by a well of water at the time of the evening, even the time that women go to draw water. He came at a time when women drew water. Now back then, ladies, while the husbands stayed home and rested, you had to go out and get the water. And that was what was going on here. So things are better. Things are better. Well, maybe they're not. Maybe they're worse. I don't know. But at any rate, we see what these women had to do. They had to go out and draw the water. And the servant said, I want to know if I'm at the right woman with the one you've chosen. And I'm going to see if she responds. And if she responds, I'll know she's the one. Now look what he says. And he said, O Lord God of my master Abraham, I pray thee, send me good speed this day and show kindness unto my master Abraham. You know, the preacher knows the only way anything is going to happen is if the Lord does it. Send me good speed. Behold, I stand here by the well of water, and the daughters of the men of the city come out to draw water. Let it come to pass that the damsel to whom I shall say, let down thy pitcher, I pray thee that I may drink. And here's her response. She shall say, drink, and I'll give thy camels drink also. Let the same be she that thou hast appointed for thy servant Isaac. And thereby shall I know that thou hast showed kindness unto my master. Now, here's how I'm going to know this is the one. She's going to respond. She's going to do what I say. As many as were ordained to eternal life believe. She's going to respond. And it came to pass, verse 15, before he'd done speaking, that behold, Rebekah came out, who was born to Bethuel, son of Milcah, the wife of Nahor, Abraham's brother, with her pitcher upon her shoulder. And the damsel was very fair to look upon. She was absolutely beautiful. a virgin, neither had any man known her. And she went down to the well and filled her pitcher and came up. And the servant ran to meet her and said, "Let me, I pray thee, drink a little water of thy pitcher." And she said, "Drink, my lord." And she hasted and let down her pitcher upon the hand and gave him drink. And when she had done giving him drink, she said, "I'll draw water for thy camels also until they have done drinking." Now, 10 camels, that's a lot of water. That's a lot of trips to the well. But she was willing to do it. It was in her heart. The Lord put it in her heart. That's why she was willing to do that. What I mean, you take the average woman, get water from my 10 camels. How many times does she have to go back and forth to the well? That's a lot. But this woman was willing to do it. You see, God's people are willing in the day of his power. And she hasted, verse 20, and emptied her pitcher into the trough and ran into the well to draw water and drew for all of his camels. And the man, wondering at her, held his peace, to wit whether the Lord had made his journey prosperous or not. You know that the only way the journey is prosperous is if the Lord made it that way, if he does it. But there's two things I want to point out about this woman, Rebecca. This is what is necessary for the bride of Isaac. Number one, she's got to be beautiful. She's got to be beautiful. And she's got to be willing. And the Lord makes both of those so. Husbands, love your wives as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish before him. That's Isaac's bride. That's the church. Perfectly beautiful through the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Listen to me. If I belong to the Lord, if you belong to the Lord, he says, with regard to you, "Thou art all fair, my love." There is no spot in thee. Perfectly beautiful. Scripture points out how beautiful she was. And she was willing to do what he called upon her to do. "Thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power." But here this unnamed servant is. He's, wow, just as a, is the Lord doing this? He's waiting to see if the Lord has made this prosperous. You know, I hate it when preachers say, "Well, so-and-so was saved by this sermon that I preached," or that, you don't know. I just hate that. How do you know? What we do is wait to see if the Lord has made something prosperous. That's all we can do. Verse 22. "And it came to pass, as the camels had done drinking, that the man took a golden earring of half a shekel weight and two bracelets for hands of 10 shekels weights of gold." I mean, this was a lot of gold. A lot of gold. "And he said, 'Whose daughter art thou? Tell me, I pray thee, is there room in thy father's house for us to lodge in?' And she said unto him, 'I'm the daughter of Bethuel, the son of Milcah, which she bare unto Nahor.'" That's Abraham's brother. That's his brother in the flesh. The Lord sent him there. "She said, 'Moreover unto him, we have both straw and provender enough and room to lodge in.' And the man bowed down his head and worshiped the Lord." He saw this is God. "And he said, 'Blessed be the Lord God of my master Abraham, who hath not left destitute my master of his mercy and his truth. I being in the way, the Lord led me to the house of my master's brethren.' And the damsel ran and told them of her mother's house these things." Now she had this big, I think it was the earring. I don't know if it's an earring or a nose ring. Most people say that means a nose ring. How'd she get it in? I don't know. But she had these big giant gold bracelets on. She comes running. Look at this. Look at this. And this man gave me these things. Verse 29, and Rebekah had a brother, and his name was Laban. We're going to find out more about Laban in the future. He was a swindler. He saw those gold, and boy, it got his attention. Look at this gold. You know, he would later swindle Jacob, and Jacob would turn around and swindle him too. But he was taken up with this gold. And Rebekah had a brother, and his name was Laban, and Laban ran out unto the man under the well. He wanted to find out where this gold came from. And it came to pass when he saw the earring and the bracelet upon his sister's hands, and when he heard the words of Rebekah, his sister, saying, thus spake the man unto me, that he came unto the man, and behold, he stood by the camels at the well. And he said, Laban said, come in, thou blessed of the Lord. Wherefore standest thou without? For I prepared the house and the room for the camels. And the man came into the house, and he ungirded his camels and gave straw and provender for the camels, and water to wash his feet and the men's feet that were with him. And there were set meat before him to eat. Big feast. But he said, I'll not eat until I've told mine errand. This is going to have to be put off. I'm going to tell you exactly why I came and what my purpose is. And that's to preach the gospel. That's what my errand is. It's a declaration of the gospel. It's not to be provided for by you. It's not to get what you have. My errand is to do what my master sent me to do, to preach the gospel. And he said, speak on. And he said, I am Abraham's servant. That's all I am. I'm Abraham's servant. And the Lord hath, remember, Abraham is a type of the Father. And the Lord hath blessed my master greatly, and he has become great. Who can describe the greatness of the infinite God? Words fall to the ground. Whatever we say, it's not good enough. The infinite greatness, the independence of God. He has no needs. He doesn't need me. I need him, but he doesn't need me. He's everywhere at once. He's all wise. He's all powerful. The greatness. He hath given him flocks and herds and silver and gold and men servants and maid servants and camels and asses. And Sarah, my master's wife, bare a son to my master when she was old. And unto him hath he given all that he hath. Now he's talking about Isaac. Abraham's given everything he has to Isaac. The Father loveth the Son and hath given all things into his hand. Now, understand this. Everything God has for the sinners in Christ. Everything. It's not given to you in response to anything you do. It's all in the hand of Christ. God will not speak to you, nor will he allow you to speak to him apart from the mediation of his dear Son. God hath put everything in the hand of his Son. He is all in salvation. I can't take that far enough. He is all. All God has for the sinner is in Christ. And you better be happy about that. What if it was dependent upon something you have to come up with in order for God to give his favor to you? You'd be in trouble, wouldn't you? I would too. But thank God, all of God's favor, all of God's salvation, all of God's mercy, all of God's grace is in his Son. The Father loveth the Son. This is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. Hear ye him. Verse 37, he's telling about what took place. And my master made me swear, saying, thou shalt not take a wife to my son of the daughters of the Canaanites, in whose land I dwell. But thou shalt go into my father's house, into my kindred, and take a wife unto my son. And I said unto my master, peradventure the woman will not follow. He relates what was said in verse 6 through 8. And he said unto me, the Lord before whom I walk will send his angel with thee. That's God the Holy Spirit, and prosper thy way. And thou shalt take a wife for my son of my kindred, of my father's house. Thou shalt not Then shalt thou be clear from this mine oath when thou comest to my kindred. And if they give not thee one, thou shalt be clear of thine oath. So I came this day unto the well. Now he's dealing with the facts. He's dealing with the facts of what actually took place. And you know, in gospel preaching, we're dealing with the facts. Jesus Christ was before he came, the eternal Son. He came in the flesh. And he did what he came to do. He saved his people from their sins. We're dealing with the facts. And he's giving the facts as to what took place. And I came this day into the well and said, this very day, here's what happened. O Lord God of my master Abraham, if now thou do prosper my way which I go, behold, I stand by the well of water, and it shall come to pass when the virgin cometh forth to draw water, and I say unto her, give me, I pray thee, a little of thy water of the pitcher to drink. And she say to me, both drink thou, and I will also draw forth thy camels. Let the same be the woman whom thou hast appointed out for my master's son. And before I'd done speaking, in my heart, behold, Rebekah came forth with her pitcher on her shoulder, and she went down unto the well and drew water. And I said, let me drink, I pray thee. And she made haste and let down her pitcher from her shoulder and said, drink, and I'll give thy camels drink also. So I drank, and she made the camels drink also. And I asked her and said, whose daughter art thou? And she said, the daughter of Bethuel, Nahor's son, whom Milcah bare unto him. And I put the earring upon her face and the bracelets upon her hands, and I bowed down my head and worshiped the Lord and blessed the Lord God of my master Abraham, which had led me in the right way to take my master's brother's daughter unto his son. And now, here's the verdict. Here's the verdict. Now, preaching is always preaching for a verdict. This isn't just throwing out information. You can take it or leave it. Here's the verdict. And now, if you will deal kindly and truly with my master, tell me. And if not, tell me that I may turn to the right hand or to the left. Then Laban and Bethuel answered and said, the thing proceedeth from the Lord. We can't speak unto thee bad or good. Behold, Rebekah is before thee. Take her and go and let her be thy master's son's wife, as the Lord has spoken. You know, one can't help but think about what all Rebekah was thinking during this time. She heard about Isaac, who had this vast wealth, and she'd never seen him, but she was interested, wasn't she? Whom having not seen, you love. Oh, she was interested. Behold, Rebekah, verse 51, is before thee. Take her and go and let her be thy master's son's wife, as the Lord has spoken. And it came to pass that when Abraham's servant heard their words, he worshiped the Lord, bowing himself to the earth. And the servant brought forth jewels of silver and jewels of gold and raiment and gave them to Rebekah. He gave also to her brother and to her mother precious things. And they did eat and drink, he and the men that were with him, and tarried all night. And they rose up in the morning, and he said, send me away into my master. And her brother and her mother said, let the damsel abide with us a few days. And my margin reading says 10 months or a full year. At the least 10 months, after that she shall go. Procrastination in this is not allowed. Nope, we're not going to wait. The greatest false refuges that I know of are the past and the future. You can have a false refuge with regard to what you think you've done or experienced in the past, or you can have some false refuge of what you think you will do in the future. All that is salvation by works. Faith is right now. Not waiting for something to happen. Not waiting. When is the time for you to believe? Right now. Don't wait for something. Don't wait for things to get better. Don't wait till you have a little bit more experience or a little bit more knowledge or you've got a little bit more victory over sin or a little bit better of a life. Don't wait. It's all a lie. It's all false. Her brother and her mother said, verse 55, let the damsel abide with us a few days, at the least 10, and after that she shall go. And he said unto them, hinder me not, seeing that the Lord hath prospered my way. Send me away that I may go to my master. I'm leaving now. And they said, we will call the damsel and inquire at her mouth. And they called Rebekah and said unto her, wilt thou go with this man? Will you go to this place you've never seen with this man you've never seen, and you don't have proof that everything the man said is true? Will you go? And she said, I will go. I will go. Will you trust one you've never seen to be everything in your salvation? Well, you know, it's really not like I got another option. I'll go. And they sent away Rebekah and their sister and her nurse and Abraham's servant and his men, and they blessed Rebekah and said unto her, thou art our sister, be thou the mother of thousands of millions, and let thy seed possess the gate of them which hate thee. They wish her well. And Rebekah rose and her damsels, and they rode upon the camels and followed the man. You know what? I can follow a man's fall on Christ. If he's leading me to Christ, I'm a fall just like Rebekah did. That's what Rebekah was doing at this time. And the servant took Rebekah and went his way, and Isaac came forth from the way of the well Lahairoi. The well, we first read of it in Genesis chapter 16. It's the well where God sees. God sees. God sees me. Isaac came from the well Lahairoi, for he dwelt in the south country, and Isaac went out to meditate in the field. You know, that's the only time that word's used. And I see Isaac as such a type of Christ meditating on the things of his father. Oh, the delight between the father and the son. And Isaac went out to meditate in the field at the eventide, and he lifted up his eyes and saw, and behold, the camels were coming. And Rebekah lifted up her eyes, and when she saw Isaac, she lighted off the camel. Now, that word lighted is actually, she came down quick. She came down quick. If I ever see who Christ is, I'm going to come down quick. This is not going to be scratching my head. No, John said, when I saw him, I fell as one dead. Dead. She came down. For she had said unto the servant, what man is this that walketh in the field to meet us? And the servant said, it's my master. Therefore she took a veil and covered herself. You come into his presence, you see you need his covering to come into his presence. Everybody does that comes into his presence. And the servant told Isaac of all the things that he'd done. And Isaac brought her into his mother Sarah's tent and took Rebekah, and she became his wife, and he loved her. And Isaac was comforted after his mother's death. What a glorious type of gospel preaching. May we all be like Rebekah. I'll go. Let's pray. Lord, how we thank you that all you have for the sinner is in your blessed Son. Lord, when we are allowed by you to preach the gospel, Lord, let us not dare compromise your gospel in an attempt to make it appealing or attractive to the flesh. But we trust you to send your Spirit to accomplish your word. And Lord, we ask in Christ's name by your Spirit that you will enable us to be like Rebecca, to go after and trust one we've never seen and believe completely on him. Bless your word for Christ's sake. In his name we pray. Amen.